Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this safety. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this safety.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap Up. After a 1 week hiatus, we are back once again to talk more Masked Singer. Now, today we are talking about last week's episode, aka the final round for the third group. We now have all three finalists locked up. That finale will be taking place next week. This week they did a sing along, Road to the Final thing, which, as y'all know, we omit because it's not canon, and I don't mean Nick. And because who's got time for that? All right, we're here. I'm excited. I'm your host, of course, Puya the Boombox and Vakili, ready to break it all down. And as always, I'm not by myself. I've got my partner in crime here with me. It's Liana, the angel, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'll call you Mr. Boombastic. I feel like it was that song, or maybe there was a different Shaggy song that was on. There was this game on, I think it was GameCube, and it was like a bongo game. It was like a Donkey Kong bongo game. Do you have any memory of this?
Like the GameCube game with the bongos that you had the extension for?
Yeah, you like played the bongos. It was like a thing. Bongo GameCube. Anyway, Jungle Beat, Nintendo Donkey Kong. Okay, anyway, whatever. I feel like there's a Shaggy song on there. And so now that's all I can think of for some reason.
All you can think of is this obscure Nintendo game from like a decade plus ago. Do I hear that correctly?
That is correct.
Oh my God. Well, interesting.
I think it was they call me Mr. Boombastic. All right. Anyway, I'll do Donkey Konga. Does that sound right?
I mean, I remember the game. I never owned it because it's okay. Like when the games come with that big package, like an extra piece with the controller, they cost a lot more.
Yeah. So, well, you needed to have the bongos separately. I think my mom allowed me to have it because she was like, well, it's like a skill.
The like old scam.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, but mom, I'm learning something. Oh, yeah. That was how I got all my games. It was like, I'm learning something.
No, me and my sister convinced my dad and my parents to get us the Nintendo Wii because it would be like a workout. And when I tell you, my dad watched us play Wii Sports and was very quickly upset and disappointed and felt cheated, which he should, because by like 3 months into the game, we realized we can play all of this sitting down. So yeah, we did.
You can essentially just do it with like the flick of your wrist. You don't have to move at all, really.
Oh, it's the way that, you know, we figured. I learned how to pretty much roll a perfect game of bowling, how to do Wii Golf, which the Switch now has the Switch Sports, and I'm very excited and keen on getting it.
Yeah, we need to get that. I saw some YouTubers play it, and I'm very into it. So, like, we need to get it. Okay. Also, just I know everybody wants to know. It was Donkey Konga 2.
Oh no! People were jonesing for that. Definitely.
I know. Release date in the United States, May 9th, 2005.
I see. Well, they also had a game that came out in 2004, which was the Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
Oh, but does that have Boombastic on it?
I don't know. I just know that it's a similar game.
Okay, because Donkey Konga 2 had it on there. But I'm just saying.
Well, thanks
anyway,
for clarifying.
Not important. Okay, I do want to say thank you to everyone who came up to talk to us at the live event and talked about the Masked Singer. Like, we sometimes definitely feel like we're just shouting into the void. And so it was so nice to be able to, like, oh, there's other humans who listen to this. And so that was really fun. And so I just want to say that. And also, like, yeah, sorry for not getting the episode out last week. Y'all know it was crazy. Like, Anyway, so we're here. We will talk about it. We'll break everything down. And then, of course, we have the energy and momentum going into the finale for next week with our top three performers. So I think it's just a good time all around.
Yeah, I think it kind of worked out that we ended up taking last week off and then this week ignoring the road to finals to cover this episode, because
yeah,
it is a perfect 1-2 punch. By next week, we know who the winner is. We'll discuss all of that then. But I also want to echo what Liana just said. Thank you so much. I got more people that came up to me and talked about The Masked Singer than any other podcast I'm involved with. So that means a lot. Thank you, of course. And thank you for all of the lovely ratings and reviews you have left throughout the seasons here with us. But it is time to talk about the round three finals here, where Liana, you now have someone in the finals to face two.
Oh, thank God. Which I also want to say shout out to us for getting our top picks each round. Like essentially the top draft pick from each round made it to the finals. So We're pretty talented. I almost messed it up, but I went strong. I went with the Prince. I'm so happy to have the Prince of the finals. We talked about this. It's all team good that we have. And I this could 100% be recency bias, but I think the Prince has got this in the bag.
Honestly, I think given the way the Prince's storyline also went in this episode, it does make me feel that way. But also, like you said, it could very well be biased because we've not seen the other two performers for a month plus. So yeah, it's been a minute. We will see. I don't know. I feel like Ringmaster could also have a shout out there. Also, honestly, like all of them do. What are we talking about here? Yeah. But no, it was interesting. It was definitely an interesting way to go. I did call this by the end of the second week of like, yeah, well, watch it be all three good. And then it's good will always prevail. Sure enough, three members of Team Good in the final three. Wow. Who would have saw that coming?
Yeah. I wonder if they planned it that way. Do you think they planned it that good would always be in the finale? And that's how they separated it.
I think we could argue that this was by far the closest of the competition. And even then, the thing that had me skeptical was, well, they've never let a like thematic costume of like two, you know, one plus three people to be in the final. So I couldn't see the gimmick going there. But I mean, they gave three very good performers the good title. So maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, thank you to those of you who reached out to us on Twitter about the all group season of The Masked Singer, which I'm hearing a lot of excitement for, because it removes that. It removes that like wondering if they're going to allow sort of the gimmick of it all to make it to the finale, which was definitely in the back of my mind on this episode about whether or not the fact that, you know, the Cobras like are so incredibly talented, and the fact that they also have to harmonize and like work together and it's not just a solo performance, I think makes it also really challenging. And is that going to be, you know, valued over maybe what the Prince brought? Anyway, definitely a discussion to be had. I think ultimately it's my draft pick also, so I'm happy with the decision, but I wouldn't have been too upset if Cobra made it.
Yeah, I would have been I would have been very happy if Cobra made it, because then I would have shut you out. But this makes it a little bit more exciting. I'm very excited about it. I'm happy about it. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I've spoken to Aussie about my lack of like for this format, but we move. I think the whole groups Masked Singer thing you suggested last time, I still don't think it's a feasible thing to do. I don't think there is a lot of groups that would sign up to do this show that would turn out an iconic performance. Unless, of course, the Royal Tenenbaums cast decides we're going to be a group, then Ken would lose his mind.
Oh, my God.
But aside from that, I don't know. We'll see. Listen, when this is the theme of a season, this is the format, anything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, anything is possible. And I can't believe we're already at the finale. I mean, you know, almost at the finale.
We're a week away. Okay. All right. Enough chatter. Let's jump into this episode here. I'm not even going to comment on Nick's bedazzled outfit because it's always bedazzled.
Wait.
You want to talk about it?
Yes. Because, okay. So, yes, the necklaces. And I liked Shaggy's comment about like, you're trying to get all blinged out or whatever. That was
Give
hilarious.
Me your bling. Where's the Give bling, me your bling at?
But I saw Nick. I merged Nick and snake into the same word. Nick in the snake print. And I thought, conspiracy theory. If the queen cobras move on, Nick was wearing snake print all along.
Oh, okay. Well, once again, I feel like this is not the first time this season that you've barked up a weird niche thing to make a conspiracy out of, but okay.
I mean, I'm just saying. Now, it didn't end up coming to fruition, and they didn't end up going on to the finale, but what if they had?
What if that was a sign that they were never going to make it?
Never going to make it.
Okay. All right. Liana, how do you want to go about it? You want to talk about the two unmasked performers first, then finish off with the prince, or do you want to go prince first?
No, I'm down. You want to do Space Bunny first?
Sure, and you can take it away.
To the moon! Okay. So we've talked about this, how Space Bunny is like maybe the best third place finisher of the group, and I still feel that after the performance. We got a ton of clues after last week, I guess, having no clues. But this almost felt like, and maybe it was just because you and I had talked about it, but also with Robin guessing Shaggy, like obviously these clues were very, very telling, because we had the angels on the shoulder, the crown on a box, the like island theme, the boom box, which they mentioned, and then the running a drill. Do you know what that's in reference to? I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head.
I'm not 100%, to be honest, because okay. I don't think Shaggy is known as a drill artist, given that I listen to drill and Shaggy's not drill. So I don't know. But also, this could be one of those things where the clue is so obvious that other people see it, but we don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Like we're trying to overthink it. Yeah, maybe.
Right, maybe.
But yeah, so between the angels, the boombox, the island time, all of that, and the fact that I think, yeah, was it Robin who said, oh, this could be Shaggy, but it's not Shaggy's voice? Mm-hmm. These clues were almost just like beating you over the head with it. And then I'm happy that they addressed the fact that when he gets unmasked that, oh, you were throwing your voice quite a bit. And so that's, you know, I love that that was something that he did, because the combination of these clues plus that voice would have just been, you know, so incredibly obvious.
I absolutely loved what we got from, Shaggy this season. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy that was there. Do you think drill has to do with military?
It was running a drill. Like the Men in Black guy was running the drill, not right. Just a drill.
I don't know. Maybe does you're looking at help? It too deep. I don't think so. Because he was part, he has had a military career.
Spinning a drill?
Shaggy has.
Drill, so. Sergeant drills, running drills. Is that a thing?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Look, we know who it is. Fire drill?
I thought that, I'm just going to move on. I thought that this clue package was very telling. You know, obviously the minute you see the angels and the boombox, it's done. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
And compound that with the dog, the Shaggy, that was, it's been a given for a little bit now. And that just kind of like shoved it all in. And at that point also you knew, I mean, I had mentioned that Space Bunny is the best one and would be the one to pull an upset out of the third placers. But the minute you saw this clue package, you before the performance, you knew it was done.
Yeah, right. I mean, and then with the guesses afterwards, with Robin guessing Shaggy, I was like, okay, yeah, it's done.
It's bye-bye.
poor Space Bunny. But this was really fun. I felt like the performance was Now That We Found Love. It was just such high energy. And I feel like that's something that Shaggy just brought to the show in general, was this like fun, goofy, I'm just here to have a good time attitude. And when you're watching that as a viewer, it like resonates. It showers you with just this joy, this radiates joy. And that was totally evident in the performance and also just with his interactions with, you know, Nick and the rest of the panel.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. I had a good time with this performance. I thought it was very fun. Both the performance itself and the set design and all the ins and outs, the Men in Black on the carrot pogo sticks, the golden carrot microphone. It was heavy on the carrots. It was like, okay, I get it. It's a bunny. Okay, stop. Enough carrots. But it worked. It worked. And I like that the space, the stage floor was like the surface of Mars, maybe. It was like kind of red. This was great. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, it was really fun. The pogo stick with like grown ass adults on a pogo stick that is like shaped like a carrot. I was nervous for those dancers and for the men in black, and I was nervous for the people around them. Like I had a pogo stick when I was a kid and weighed like 12 pounds. I can't imagine being on a pogo stick as an adult. Like,
oh, my knees would give out, I think. I don't even want to think of how my knees punish me the next day.
Like my knees, my center of gravity. I can't even imagine. Should we get a pogo stick and try? No, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't test fate and end up getting injured. I mean, work from home, so my life would be fine. Mm-hmm. But I would like to not give up going on my walks and stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever want moon shoes as a kid?
Moon shoes?
Yeah, moon shoes. Okay, so moon shoes, they were this thing that were, they were in the 90s, and they were, I feel like I remember seeing advertisements for them, and I remember seeing them in like catalogs. Like if you sold enough Girl Scout cookies, you could get moon shoes. But they were essentially these like these giant trash cans that you strap to your feet, and they had rubber bands. So you would like sink into the trash can but then you were still supported by the rubber bands. So then you would sort of like jump out, like the momentum would then push you up. And the idea was that you could like jump to the moon.
So oh, moon bouncy shoes.
Yeah. They're like bouncy shoes, mini trampolines for your feet.
This looks like a scam.
I actually didn't know anybody that had these. So maybe it was a scam. You can buy them on Amazon though now.
You can. Big they cost toys. $33.
Big time toys, moon shoes, bouncy shoes, mini trampolines for your feet.
Yeah.
No tool assembly. Up to 160 pounds. Oh, okay.
The top review is 4 stars. Fun drunk purchase.
Oh, so, no.
There's the demographic.
This is like all the millennials that now have, it's what's that TikTok trend that's like, I now adult have money. Access to adult money.
Yeah.
I think the problem is I think my feet wouldn't fit would be the issue.
Yeah. So then there's another one that's 2 stars, .. And 7-year-old grandchildren and myself were very disappointed with these shoes.
Now the rubber bands are weak and break so easily.
And yeah. I'd be shocked. Look at the state of them.
They do not look like they're.
Yeah.
The signature is a very disappointed grandma with disappointed spelled wrong.
Well, she was that disappointed she misspelled the whole thing.
Yeah. Did I tell you when I was in graduate school, I bought Heelys, like the shoes that you like wheel
of
on your
you did.
Heel.
In graduate school?
Yeah, as a PhD student, I thought,
oh my God.
Okay, so first of all, I always wanted them, okay, from in the 90s. And then I was like, I'll get around lab faster because I'll just be able to wheel around in them.
Yeah, how did that go?
It did not go well. They are, first of all, they're heavy. And second of all, they are very difficult to wheel around in. I do not have the coordination for Heelys.
I feel like I did own a pair of shoes that had the wheels. That you had to press a button on the side to make the wheels come out and become roller skates.
But there were two of them, not just the one, or were there?
There were
just one.
There were no. There were two of them.
Okay.
So I didn't have Heelys. I have seen Heelys in use before, but I think by the time I could have gotten Heelys, I'm too heavy. I would be too heavy to make my roller. I feel like if you're a kid, it's going to be infinitely easier than if you're a full grown adult rocking the Heelys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The same logic, I think, applies to pogo sticks. Should I get them now?
No. What?
I can
do
get
you
a pair
want
for
to get
$55.
So what? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Let's get takeout instead. That's a better... No one will get hurt. Everyone will be happy. And we get to share. That is a win. That is a better spend of the money.
Okay.
It did not take much to convince you to get takeout. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Are you hungry?
What if I still got them though? And
no.
We got takeout.
Well, listen, as intriguing as that sounds, I must veto.
Okay. Fine.
All right, cool. So
okay, back to
Masked Singer. Okay, yeah. So we've already talked about the conversation with the space bunny, the guesses that came down the pipeline, Robin obviously knew and says Shaggy. Jenny takes a huge leap and says Sean Kingston because of the crown, Kingston. I thought, well, also Kingston could just be Jamaica and, you know, Shaggy born in Kingston, Jamaica. But do you, Sean? Do you, Jenny? That's fine. Because there's a more outrageous guess on the panel where Ken is convinced this is Owen Flippin' Wilson.
Again, still waiting for the return of the Boo Ken chance.
Boo Ken. Boo.
How are they letting him get away with this? I love, though, was this when Robin was like, oh, no, that was a different guess. Sorry, he had so many bad guesses this episode when Nick was like, don't clap for that.
It was another guess, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was.
It definitely was. Queen Cobra.
It was the, yes. Oh, God. Yeah, that was also bad. This was worse, though, to me, I guess. I don't know. It was,
I don't know. That was three guesses and all of them were outrageous. So that was like triple bad.
Three terrible guesses versus one really bad guess.
Right.
I don't know the math there for the guesses. But I have a question. You might know this. Is Sean Kingston really doing a wrestling league for rappers? Is that a thing?
So I've not heard of it myself, but my God, stop it. Stop this. Stop this. Because it is incredible. He is. He is. I just looked it up. Launched professional boxing league for rappers. Now, this is an article from 2020, given that it's 2022 and I've not heard anything since. And like, I'm in the social media know enough to know when there's influencer boxing events happening. So there's actually one happening like tomorrow or the next year or something like that. So Harley from Epic Mealtime is going to be in it. So yeah. Oh, apparently. Yeah. June 26, 2020, Riff Raff asked to fight in Sean Kingston's rap boxing league.
Oh my God. What a disaster.
Yikes. Yeah. So, obviously boxing took a huge interest in the pop culture scene in the last like 3-4 years because YouTubers started doing it. Then some celebrities got involved. So it makes sense that Sean Kingston's trying to get this to go. Given that we've heard nothing, then I don't know. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I was just curious. I figured you would know of all the people I know.
I don't know whether to be appreciative of that or to feel upset about that, but it's fine.
The one other thing I want to say about the Space Bunny is that Space Bunny was on, I mean, Space, like Shaggy mentioned this when he gets unmasked, but the fact that he was on So I Think I Can See Your Voice, I was like, oh my God, we're so stupid. I don't know why I don't have that Wikipedia page just bookmarked so I can consistently cross-reference, because the amount of overlap that we have had between So I Think I Can See Your Voice and The Masked Singer is
I just can
like,
see your voice. Okay. I can see your voice.
Cheyenne Jackson, my guess for the Prince, was also on SITICYV. Was that close?
No, you just added again. You did the incorrect acronym. So just cancel the show because
no,
if everyone's going to be from Dancing with the Stars or I Can See Your Voice, then what's the point of us doing detective work? Just throw those wikis up and then we'll figure everyone out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm only going to cross-reference those two cast lists. And then
that should be your challenge next season. You only use those and see how many you can guess correctly.
Okay, I like that. Deal.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say about Shaggy before we move on here?
I just want to repeat that I thought that Shaggy was really fun and just such a joy to have on the show.
I agree with that. Cosign 100%. I think was it Jenny or Nicole? One of them cited T-Pain and like how they felt like it was kind of T-Pain-ish in the way he was able to mask his voice and then show a different side to him, which I agree. I liked quite a bit. If not for the clues, I would have never gotten Shaggy off the like, voice. Oh,
from the voice? Absolutely not. I don't, there's no way. It was 100% the clues because I think he did such a fabulous job. I mean, I don't want, like, performing in what is not his normal style is what I will say.
Right. Okay. So then let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about not one, not two, but three Queen Cobras. All right. So let's talk about Queen Cobra now. And I got to say, the fact that they just decided to change the name of the artists from Queen Cobra to Queen Cobras and pretend that you didn't tell us it was Cobra for like the whole time kind of bothered me. I know it wasn't a big deal, but it kind of bothered me.
They also did the thing where they had two of them very clearly, like they had one of them very clearly in the video, then two of them very clearly in the video. And then at the start of the clue package, there were very obviously three of them. So clearly this is like part of the whole deal.
Yeah. So the Queen Cobras are they ended up performing second either way. So they performed last. What am I talking about? Mm-hmm. So they were the last performance of the night, and their clue package was about three queens from different worlds. And then there was a lot of conversation about dark magic, which has to link back, I'm assuming, to the team bad of it all. Then there were Chili Peppers. There was a $0 price tag on the Thinking Man statue, right? Mm-hmm,
the Thinker, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a picture with Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, and Ariana Grande in one, like a trio. And then that's about all I got from the clue package. Did you see anything else that I've missed?
That three divas photo, the one with Celine, Mariah, and Ariana, was like one of the worst Photoshop jobs we've ever seen on The Masked Singer. Like, they didn't even try. It was like Ariana's head, like, but it's her butt. Her, okay, by bust, I don't mean like her titties, but like by bust, I mean her like shoulders, you know, like an old timey person bust. It was like shifted off the body. They didn't even scoot it over to match with the shoulders, which they picked like the right angle photo. They just didn't bother to move it like a half inch over. And then the picture they chose for Celine Dion was horrible. Like, just not the most flattering. It was fine. Like, she's gorgeous anyway. So it's like, you can't really take a bad photo of her. But anyway, that was just, I thought that I just couldn't stop laughing at it. I like went back, paused and laughed at it because it was just so bad.
I mean, that'll do it. That's the thing, is that when they do a poor job of a Photoshop, to me, it's like, should I even care about this clue? Maybe it doesn't matter. And ultimately, I don't think it really mattered.
Did they try enough? I mean, I think the main thing was just like, it's three divas. Like, they really, the Charlie's Angels clue and the three divas thing, they just really wanted to hammer home that, like, yes, it is three people. which, yeah, okay, like, we get it. I loved the Thinker clue for $0 being free your mind. That is so clever. I mean, maybe it's not and I'm just stupid, but I
No, that's a phenomenal clue.
Yeah, absolutely. When Nicole was explaining it, I was like, okay, is it stat, like free statue, like zero statue? And I was like, I know it's the Thinker. So then I was like, I don't know. I maybe it was just my brain at the end of the day. But when Nicole explained it, I was like, oh, free your mind, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, no, that was phenomenal. The performance too was very good. I really liked the performance from the Queen Cobras. So because there's three of them, they had the same motif, it felt like, for every performance, which is the Cobra boxes and like all the singers coming out of the boxes. That was fine. I didn't mind that. But I love this song by Silk Sonic. So it resonated with me very much.
Okay, so 2 points. The first one is, I'm happy that you brought up the set design, that essentially they had the exact same one for every performance. And I actually think that that's totally unfair. I don't know why the designers thought that they had to do that. Like, I get that they were trying to mask how many of them there are. So if you throw in six of them, okay, then that will sort of obfuscate what's happening. But you don't have to put them in their little pots. You can have them just moving around. You can have other elements of set design, especially like, let's say for the last one where you in the clue package hammer home so hard that there's obviously three of them, then just have three of them performing and then maybe like 20 backup dancers that are also all Queen Cobras, but in like, you know, maybe cheaper outfits or whatever. I felt like it was really limiting for them. And I don't think that that was their fault, because like you said, I thought that this was, it was such a great performance. Also learned that it's not just a TikTok song, which feels like that happens to me.
Oh my God, Liana. What do you mean? Just, this is literally Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know that now.
Oh my God, you know that now.
Okay, look, here's the thing. It's tough for me to discover new music because my Spotify Discover Daily or whatever is very limited.
That's your fault.
That's my fault. But the point is that when I hear new songs on TikTok, that's like the first time that I'm hearing them potentially. Okay. So anyway, the first, when I first started hearing this, I was like, oh my God, it's a TikTok song. Oh my God. So yeah, I think I'm going to add it to my playlist because I created a Masked Singer season 7 playlist, which currently consists of essentially music from all 3 of the groups in this finals. Like it's really? Only Shaggy and Vogue. Yeah. And whatever, like Cobble, Cheyenne, well, I assume Cheyenne Jackson, which now that I've listened to a ton of his music, I'm like, okay, yeah, the voice matches to me. But anyway, the point is that they're just so talented and I wish that they could have had more movement with other backup dancers and I wish that they had had more diversity in their performances. I don't hold that against them. I hold that against the show itself and for some reason feeling like they have to be contained to this repetitive structure.
Right. Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think as it stands right now, the Masked Singer simply hasn't built a good platform to get a group further than literally right before the finals because they, I don't know what it is about it. I feel like they've had talent that could have gone further in a group setting. They just haven't let that happen. I feel like Queen Cobras is the closest we've come to someone who maybe would have been deserving to make it there. But I also think the Prince did a phenomenal job. So it was very hard to go head to head there, but yeah. I shouldn't be able to look at them and be like, I still don't think they'll get there because there's 3 of them. Like that shouldn't be a problem.
Exactly. That shouldn't be held against them just because they're, you know, quote unquote, the gimmick of the season. And the, like the Russian nesting dolls. Okay. So there was the Snow Owls. Mm-hmm. Obviously they couldn't really go anywhere, but also I think compared to the other talent that season, maybe
they were never going to go that far.
Yeah. I think Hanson probably stood an okay chance, but also I think that the talent that season, I think there were people that were better than them, but I could have understood if they had made it there. But again, they were limited because of that costume. And then the same thing here, the costumes actually were not the issue. It was the active choices to put them, or I can never, because there were 6 of them, I was like trying to tell which one was which, like which were the 3 that were actually the
Right, which
Cobras.
Were the singer.
Yeah, like I don't even remember like if they were the ones that were up inside the pots or down on the stage or the ones that like were up there but then came down because, you know, there were like 6 anyway, whatever. So I don't think that's a limitation of the costume, whereas with the Russian nesting dolls, it was absolutely the costume's fault. But here it was just the choice to just cage them up. I don't know. It was cool for the first one. I just felt like you could have abandoned it after that.
Yeah, again, it becomes a little samey, and I think that's where you go wrong here, or they were done wrong, honestly. So let's go to the guesses from the judges here. So as far as the guesses go, some of them made sense, some of them didn't. So Nicole guesses In Vogue pretty much out the gate. So that is a solid guess, right? Mm-hmm. Winning guess even.
Obviously, but then, yeah.
Ken, so you know earlier when I was like, yeah, that Photoshop job makes me think why should I even care about this clue? Apparently Ken cares because Ken named one of the 3 divas on that picture, Ariana and Jessie J and Nicki Minaj, a trio that aren't even a trio, but for some reason you are making them a trio and you are convinced that 3 of the biggest artists out there. Well, I guess is Jessie J still like big right now? Ariana is.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj probably is.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't know. Ridiculous guess from Ken. This was, I think, the worst guess of the night, honestly.
Yeah. This is where Nick was like, don't clap for that.
Yeah. They don't give him anything.
There's so many reasons why it's wrong.
On so many levels.
So many levels. I don't even know where to begin. It makes me just not want to do it all. But like, look, I mean, how bold would the Masked Singer clue package writer people be to literally put a picture of the person in the clue package? Now, people have done their own songs before. We've seen this, not in the US version, but in other international versions. So that is a thing. But to literally have a photo of them in the clue package, come on. I just like that alone should be the reason why it's incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot to handle.
None of the body. It's a tight costume. It's not like the bodies could be obscured. Those 3 have such unique and different body shapes. Like Jessie J is super tall. I assume. I don't know. She just looks tall. Ariana's like tiny, and like Nikki has curves for days. No, anyway, whatever.
You're trying to insert logic into Ken Jeong, which is never going to be the case. Okay, all right, then let's move on to our last performer of the session here, and that is, of course, the finalist from this group.
Oh, wait, Prince. We didn't address where Nicole got that lamp at the end of the Cobra's performance.
I didn't even notice it.
Oh, okay. It was really random. She was just holding it and it had clearly like dry ice inside. It was weird.
Okay.
I don't even. Okay. We'll just move on.
Okay. So let's let you take over with the Prince then, since that's your pick.
Ah, yes. Okay. So the Prince's clue package was all about like escaping the young pond that he grew up in, but he felt like nobody was listening. And so then he like traveled to scary places. And then finally sort of was able to find, you know, his vibe. Some of the other clues that we saw were Carnegie Hall. We saw sheet music and a pencil, so songwriter was where the judges went. Plane. There was a tapping on a watch. There was also a high five, and then there was some very unique language, Prince of the Stage, King of My Castle, mm-hmm. at the end, which stood out to me. So going on my vibes from last week, which is Cheyenne Jackson, he, in March 2012, Jackson was signed to Sony ATV Publishing as a songwriter. Boom, songwriter, sheet music, nailed it. Tapping on a watch, he was in Watchmen. Nailed it.
Oh, Prince that's of the Stage, great. Yeah.
King of My Castle. In Into the Woods, he played Cinderella's prince, which maybe is like too much on the nose, but I'm going with it. The Carnegie Hall clue, I feel like we talked about this last week, but he sold out Carnegie Hall twice. So this is just like a done deal for me. Oh, and the travel to scary places also goes into his, like, you know, what am I thinking of? The thing we talked about last week.
Oh yeah, Dairy Queen.
American Horror Story. Yeah, what? Dairy Queen.
I don't know the answer, so I just threw something out there.
Okay. I don't believe we talked about Dairy Queen. I believe that was not discussed. But anyway, after now listening to some of his, he's got two albums out, by the way. Listening to those as well as more of his performances from Broadway, I feel really confident about that mix of the clues. And I'm super happy to have a Broadway performer in the finals. I'm rooting hard for my Prince.
Didn't we have a Broadway performer last season?
That is entirely possible. My memory is about 2 seconds long.
Well, and you love that one. You love that performer. So.
Oh, Todrick Hall. Blah. No. Oh my God. We could do a whole podcast just on the Todrick Hall drama of it all.
Yeah, but we won't. I don't want to be there. I okay. resign.
Okay. Like a real Broadway performer.
Wow. Okay. All right. Shots happily fired.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this performance was the first performance of the night was the Prince. And honestly, after that, it kind of felt like it's over. Like yeah, the exactly. way it starts with the trumpets in the Men in Black with the trumpets in front of the judges, and then the Prince hanging out in this like frame, like a picture frame standing thing that moved, and then to sit at the throne at the end and have amazing vocals. It was this felt like a finals performance. It did not feel like this felt like what we should have probably seen happen next week.
So totally agree with you. If I could critique one thing, I would have absolutely put the Prince last. I would have put Cobra first, yes. Space Bunny, then the Prince, because it did just feel like, who cares? And that sounds horrible to say, but I just felt like the whole thing from the blocking of the performance to the actual vocals, which as I listen to him more and more from his Masked Singer performances, I mean, you're probably not going to agree with me, but he gives me Daughtry level vocals of how crisp and clean and clear his vocals are. And I'm sure that that's all of the Broadway training. This was just, and to do Stevie Wonder too on top of it, like mwah, chef's kiss. I was obsessed with this performance.
It was very good. I thought it was very, very solid. And I also think that it should have gone last. I think the fact that it didn't go last did a disservice to the other two amazing performers, because again, I really had a hard time seeing anyone else winning it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah. Yeah, that's just so tough, because I do think that with maybe, I don't know, maybe not a different song choice. The Prince really was just, to me, the favorite going into it. But the Queen Cobras also just bring, and Nicole mentions this at the end after their group performance, the fact that each of them bring something so different, and the Queen Cobras bring something so different. But this performance from the Prince was just so incredibly solid that you can't, I mean, what would you even critique about this? It was just so good.
Very good. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Okay. So then the judges come through with their guesses. Now, it's important to note for me that the Prince clearly says, music was my first big love, but I became known for things that weren't music. So to me, that means I'm good, but also that's not what I'm famous for. Mm-hmm. But then a second later, Jenny's like, you know, I think it's AJ McLean, JC Chazay, like I'm going to fire off the same 12 guesses from the last 8 seasons. Are you listening to your talent? Are you listening to the performer's clues? Or are you just firing off nonsense at the mouth?
Do you think they're legally required to mention boy banders?
They like better be getting royalty. They got to get paid. Like AJ and JC better be getting coin from how much their names is in the mouth of these judges every season.
Remember the jar?
Yes, that was one jar? Season. One and done.
What was it called?
It's the jar now.
Jar of Shame.
That makes sense. I think it was the Jar of Shame.
It was like the repeat guest jar. And I feel like now every boy bander, I mean, apologies to any boy bander who might go on the show in the future, but like it just in the jar.
Jar.
It's a new girl situation. Jar.
Yeah.
Oh, so bad. Although the other guesses made me also feel better about my guess, because they were getting to the Broadway of it all with, because who is it? Was it Nicole and
who else? Robin said Ben Platt. Nicole said Andrew Rannells.
Andrew Rannells. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I knew it was Ben Platt and Andrew Rannells. I couldn't remember who. But that was, I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting to the general category of people that, you know, I think it is with it being Cheyenne Jackson. So we'll see if they get there. The fact that he wasn't guest also made me feel good about him. And then when Space Bunny and Queen Cobras both got guest, I was like, okay, yeah, Prince is going to the finals. Mm-hmm. But they are in the ballpark. I think it's going to be interesting to see if they'll be able to get him to guest him in the finals before he gets unmasked.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about the group performance at the end with Katy Perry's Roar before we got to the unmaskings?
Okay. Obviously, it was really good. And I do share what Nicole or Jenny, I can't remember, one of them said something about like how well their vocals all go together, which I think is a testament because of how independently good they all are, right? So when you put together a bunch of good people's vocals, most of the time it'll sound good as long as they're not trying to outshine one another, which did happen a little bit towards the end. I think the issue was is that with 5 people, because they each had their own time at the beginning, right? So they each got to sing a little bit. Then for the majority of the performance, it was all 5 of them singing at the same time. And credit to them for being able to all sound super cohesive. But I liked the other group performances because I could still sort of hear individual voices that did come together as a whole, whereas this just sounded like a fabulous chorus. So I guess my feeling is not necessarily a critique of the performance per se. It's just that what I wanted to hear out of it was a little bit more independent than what they were able to do. But that was because obviously they've got 2 more people. They have 5 people and they have En Vogue, which harmonizes so well together and sings so well together. So I think it was just, different and it was good, but I don't know. I was expecting, I like the other group performances, like I said, because of the individuality of it all.
I liked it, but I think that they kind of got lost in the shuffle because of how good everyone was. So that makes sense. Right. Like no one stuck out. It was just like, it didn't feel like it was a Sing for Your Life. It was like, oh, intermission. It was just nice.
Yeah, no, you're right. It genuinely did feel like a maybe a more of a group performance than the other ones did, because which group was it where we liked the person and their individual performance more, but we liked their group performance?
I think it was Ringmaster's group. I think it was like where we thought Ringmaster took the edge potentially.
Right. Yes.
I think so.
Yes. So that didn't happen. Like it definitely didn't feel like individual people were performing. It totally felt like a chorus, which again, props to them for the, you know, if that's the point, right? The professionalism of it all. Props. But I was sort of, I was just looking to, I was looking for any type of differentiating factor that could come out in the group performance. Mm-hmm. But because they were so cohesive, that never really stood out.
We never got that. Yeah. Okay. That brings us to the two unmasking. So first unmasking was Space Bunny. I'm going to just go through these quick because the guesses didn't change. So Owen Wilson mm-hmm. was Ken's, John Kingston was Jenny's, and then a shaggy runner with Robin and Nicole. Turns out to be Shaggy. He seemed very excited. I loved his energy. I loved his performance at the end to end the night for him. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, but I have two other things when we finish the unmaskings to talk about.
Do you want to talk about them now or you want to wait till the end?
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I don't have anything to add to the Shaggy unmasking. So just to like close that out. Again, I totally echo the energy of it all. Super fun. He was obviously having a great time. I loved all the facial expressions that he was doing at the end where he was like, yeah, and this, you know, this mask, you can't do these facial expressions. Like, wah, wah. It was very, I don't know. It just seemed like I was naturally drawn to him. He just seems like a very effervescent person. Anyway, the things I wanted to mention is one, they're back on their NFT nonsense. Did you see all the mismatching?
I did. I was like, no one talks about NFTs anymore, bro. Get that out of here. Like, we're done. It's like such a dated get out.
I was like, are we still doing that? I thought we had sort of like agreed that it's like not a thing as a community, as a family. I thought we had moved on from NFTs.
I feel like I've also not seen it talked about as much recently, which makes me think that it's like dead. So
yeah, I don't know. Choices. Maybe it's still kicking and it's just not in the public eye.
Hey, maybe it's for crypto dads watching with their families. Get in on the NFTs. What are you doing?
Which reminds me, I do have, but I, you know, this is a little hypocritical of me because as someone who does own a NFT, a Mass Singer NFT, I think I got the first one.
You own a JPEG. Like that is nothing.
I know, right?
Do the Mass Singer NFTs even hold any value?
I do not think. What's the currency? Ethereum? No. Iridium,
Ethereum,
or Ethereum. Yeah, it's like negative Ethereum. I have to pay.
You owe money. Okay, this is why you just shouldn't have gotten it in the first place.
I know. What a mess.
Wow.
Okay, so that was point number one. Point number two is the TMZ article was like an old article because it was the Hydra mask, and we been knew that they had to like cut the head off of the Hydra mask in order to reveal Penn and Teller. And that was already a story that was out. So why is the TMZ articles this season have been so bad? Because it's like, oh, guess what? Celebrity, blah, 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 blah. And then they don't even reveal the name in the article. And then this one was something that we been knew. So anyway, really dropping the ball there. So I was very disappointed in that article.
And you are 100% okay to feel that way.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm suing for damages.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
We're gonna lawyer up.
All right. Well, let's talk about the second unmasking, which was in vogue, or as I found out, on vogue is allowed because that's how they say it in Europe.
That's right. Okay. Oh, we.
So Ken had that ridiculous guess. Nicole and Jenny both landed on in vogue, and Robin went with SWV, which is what he guessed earlier as well. So ends up being in vogue. They were amazing. Again, I love them. I'm so happy I got to have them on my team. You got to pick first in the draft. And when I got Queen Cobra, I was stoked. So
yeah,
I'm sad to see them go, but I'm happy they came through.
They're so good. Mm-hmm. Like so good. And I totally echo. It was really cute to watch Nicole just completely fangirl out about them being on the stage. That was really, really adorable and amazing to see because, I mean, yeah, they just have such a deep, fabulous catalog. Mm-hmm. And It's crazy that they went out before the finale. I mean, I think they, I don't know. Do you think they would have been fourth? Like if we had had a regular season and we had had a top six with sort of the top two from each group, which I think we were pretty clear on, I think you could have made an argument for them being maybe the fourth place.
Like overall?
Yeah, like overall. So for example, because we had, it was what? So who were the other ones that we would be in contention? Miss Teddy and Thingamabob, right?
Yeah, so the football player from the first group.
Yeah, the Thingamabob, Jordan Mulata.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Teddy, Jennifer Holliday. And then Queen Cobras. So those would be the other
I would give them fourth.
Three. I think I would give them fourth too.
Yeah.
I would even... Yeah, it's been too long since I've seen Firefly. I'm going to need to like re-up on a dose of Firefly.
Yeah, you can't. You're about to keep putting slander on Firefly. Like Firefly didn't wow us out the gate.
I think it's the mental reminder of the fact that she was at risk that second episode. But I remember even in that episode thinking that that was nonsense. So I don't know what's going on.
You know, you know how we talked about maybe Prince could take it all? How's this for mm-hmm. Let me throw a hot tip on here and tell me if that works. Okay. So they definitely, I'm assuming on the road to finals. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are not 5 years old. You cannot laugh at the word tip.
Hot tip.
Stop. What is wrong with you? Why are you like this?
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. I'll share it with you later.
Okay. Thanks for keeping that private. I don't know what it is, but thank you.
It was something Mike Bloom texted me. So you know that it's like,
oh God. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. That's for me and me only. Okay. Yeah. So. I'm assuming on the road to finals, they're like, yeah, look, the Firefly, she had like a big like trouble during her first performance.
Oh yeah. She was the one. Was it like breathing? Sorry. Yes, what was it? Sorry to interrupt.
Yes,
but I just wanted to remember. Okay. Yeah.
That. And then also now she like was in the bottom two and had to fight her way out. Watch her win the whole thing because she never gave up. And that is what you do as a performer. You never give up. And the Firefly fought to the end and prevailed. Like genuinely, given that good will prevail, the under good, aka the underdog good, I could see taking the whole thing now just off that. So Firefly might be the winner.
If it's like the good of the good prevail.
The goodest good, like the nicest good, the hardest trying good.
The hardest trying good. Yeah, even in the face of adversity, right? I mean, every hero has to face some type of sacrifice or, you know, challenge, right? Isn't that part of the hero's narrative? So I believe it. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, are we done with the episode or do we have more stuff to talk about with the episode?
No, we're done. I just want to say that ultimately looking at all the unmasked people from this last group, the top three were phenomenal, but yeah, like never bring the bottom two back ever again. Stop with this nonsense. And also, I see the tactical decision to not lead with this group as your first. Okay, Masked Singer? I see what you did. I don't appreciate it.
You know, it's wild because I would say that this top three was the strongest, or this group, the top three from this group was the strongest.
Yes.
And I do wonder if they had every intention of leading with this group and then changed it. I don't know. Maybe not. But I just feel like this would be such a good group to go first. So I'm actually kind of interested that they didn't do that.
I feel like you look at the names of the people in the other two groups. And now, obviously, I know people knew some of the people that I didn't know. But to me, it was a weird choice to lead with Duff Goldman and Joe Buck being your first two unmasked. Mm-hmm. And then in the second group, it would have been Christie Brinkley and Penn and Teller being unmasked. So then this group having like the two higher profile for the wrong reasons names potentially being up there, but then also a Shaggy and In Vogue unmasking would have been nuts. So they really buried the bigger names, I think, in the back end, which could have been because of the press they got from Jack in the Box's unmasking before the season. Who knows? But just don't do that again. Like, it's not worth it. It bothered me. Stop it.
Yeah, no more politicians. We're fine with that.
Okay, so what were you going to say?
Oh, okay. So I have a couple thoughts. So first of all, just to go off of what you just said, I feel like Penn and Teller and Christie Brinkley would be like a very strong group to lead with for like the first two out. Mm-hmm. So that's one group that I could see. The Joe Buck one being first, though, didn't we talk about how that was cross promotion with Domino Masters?
So Joe Buck has been on. Yeah, Joe Buck has done stuff with Eric Stone Street, who was the guest judge that week. and who happened to know who this performer is, which was like,
well, but Joe Buck also was on Domino Masters, right?
I think made an appearance on Domino Master, but either way, it was weird because that was the same week that Joe Buck left for ESPN. So like Joe Buck was in the news like that week prior for that.
Let's see. Marisa was watching it. She said there are some fun builds. Joe Buck is the announcer and I think he's having fun with it. That's what she said. So anyway, okay. So that was one thought. The other thought I had was talking about the format, because I know that this has sort of been a little bit of a discussion that we've had throughout. Okay. I hate it. I know I was a fan of it before because it was like exciting to, oh my gosh, yes, it's a bunch of new people. We get to see a bunch of new masks. I actually kind of, I don't know. Do I like the wild cards? I just feel like not having seen Firefly from, okay, wait, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 weeks ago was when I saw the Firefly perform last. And I feel like emotionally that's doing her a disservice because I'm like, Firefly who? Because all I can think of is this last group and then maybe, if they're lucky, the group before.
I agree. I mean, especially when you factor in that it doesn't feel like everyone's got equal opportunity, even though that doesn't matter. It just feels like we didn't see one for a month. We didn't see one for 6 weeks. And then we just saw the prince like the 2 weeks prior to the finale. So I don't like that. I personally loved having the wild cards get entered in. I know you had a problem with, well, they've technically not performed as long as the other one. So they should have made it that far.
None of them are going to win. Well, they're not going to win. They're not going to win. But like maybe that's just something I need to accept to like still have the fun excitement of somebody new coming into the game. I just have to sort of be like, it's fine.
I feel like they should have a chance of winning. Again, this goes back to the whole group thing. The fact that a wild card has never made it to the finale or that a multi-person performer has never made it to the finale makes it so that when we see that, we're automatically skeptical of it. Mm-hmm. And it does make, you know, if you're trying to make this competitive, anyone can win. Stuff like that makes it difficult for us to ever see them being able to win. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the flaw. But the twist of having wild cards and injecting new life into the episodes, I thought was better than, hey, we'll batch them up in batches of three so that every 3 weeks you get a new five. That's great for the first episode. But then seeing the same performers 3 weeks in a row isn't great. And then also forgetting the previous performers isn't great. Because I guess that what it does is it makes it so that, oh, watch the road to the final so you can get a refresher on everybody. But I shouldn't have to. Like, you know what I mean? It should be a healthy mix of rotation. And I think that is where it would thrive best. If it was group A, group B, group C, group A, group B, group C, I think that's a better format. Because then the last week could be finals week. Or the last three month could be finals week, where every week it's high stakes. Someone's about to get to the finals, and then it culminates with a final showdown of the three best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like season one really had it, where you had the different groups, and then did they get mixed up? Did the groups get mixed up, and then they came together? Am I remembering that correctly? It was like the two groups and then they got like, there was like a swap, like a tribe swap,
like a shuffling.
And then they all got mixed together. Maybe you don't need that swap or something. You do three groups. So it's like episode. So group A, group B, group C, group A, group B, group C. Then you have the top six all come together. Yeah, you have the top six all come together and then you can do, you know, maybe one elimination or two eliminations. They did. It went from 6 to 5 and then 5 to 3. And then that was the finale. Like, that's fine. I like the three different. Yeah. Okay. I think that's maybe my optimal. Did that happen in any season or is three groups?
I think there was a swap. I think there was just, it was a merger essentially of like when we got to, was it the Super 8? No. Was it the 8 or 6? Something like that.
What a mess. Anyway, I like the shorter season. So if I were to pick, I think I would say episode 1, group A, episode 2, B, 3, C, then repeat. So 4, 5, 6 is ABC again. Then you do episode 7, the top six all come together, eliminate, you know, 1, 2, whatever. Episode then 8, 9 can be eliminating the following people. You have the finale. like perfect. That to me, I think, is the ideal Masked Singer season. So you get enough variety and it doesn't like beat you over the head with it.
I think the best season they've had was still season two. That was 10 weeks. I think that is the second shortest. Yeah. Season one was 9 weeks. Season two was 10 weeks. Three was the longest at 15 weeks. And then every other season has been 11 weeks. So they've cut it down by a month. I think if they figure out they've figured out the recipe of like duration, the 11 weeks is fine. This works perfectly.
Yeah.
Where we start in, you know, we start and then we're done in like three months time. I think that works perfectly. However, I think the format definitely could use some tweaking, which actually this season, yeah, started March 9th and is about to be done mid-May. So a little one week over 2 months here.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'm not mad at that.
No, same. So I think that is what I'm looking for. We'll see. I don't think I've heard or seen Masked Singer getting renewed yet. I imagine it will. It still does decent in the ratings, right?
I don't know.
Let's see. So it premiered to about 6 million viewers. It's per first episode. Is it doing worse?
Let's see. I'm sure it's doing worse. I mean, all TV is like, feel like consistently doing worse. So I don't see, yeah, I don't see any announcement of it being, it has not been canceled or renewed. So yeah. We'll see.
So we'll see.
I imagine it will be. I mean, they renewed, I Think I Can See Your Voice.
This is the same network. No, it's I Can See Your Voice. There's no I Think. There's no So You Think. It's just I Can See Your Voice. I Can See Your
not
Voice.
Not me thinking I actually did it correctly.
And you like slow spoke it to, I Think I Can See Your Voice.
I was like, I nailed it. I didn't say, so I think I can see your voice. I just said, I think I can see your voice. Obviously the correct season. But yeah, the fact that they renewed that aired in 2022 makes me feel like, yeah, for sure. They're going to renew the Masked Singer, even though, you know.
I mean, I guess all I would say is just make it one season a year. Make it similar to, you know, there's so many singing competitions that were once a year that it makes it more important. It makes it more of a spectacle. When you do two in a season, first of all, you run the risk of running out of celebrities, which it does feel like they're getting to, but then also it becomes less special. Make it once a year. It's better that way.
Do you think they would ever do it over the summer in like the summer slot?
I don't think so because yeah. I think that
Lego Master for that.
Right. I think, you know, combined with, you know, like the Olympics, the World Cup, like there's so many things that will take those summer spots. I think there's more people traveling. I think there's less eyes on TV in general. Maybe I might be talking out of my butt here. I don't know, but I think they want that primetime Wednesday night show to compete with the other shows. You know, cause like Masked Singer and Survivor have been going head to head for like seasons now. So I think that's what they're looking for. And no matter what, they still do. I think it makes the most views on their network. I mean, this is also the same network that has Domino Masters. So they're not going to put Domino Masters Wednesday at 8. You know, that's got to be Masked Singer.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. We need to look at the ratings to like,
you know, what would be good if another network buys Masked Singer? That might be better. That might be the save we need.
Like, what about like a streaming service?
Throw it to Hulu. See how they do with it.
Give it to Hulu. Yes. Chicago Fire, Survivor, lead the night on Wednesdays.
See, if you're losing a Chicago Fire, like, I don't know. Is that a good show? I have no idea. I know there's like seven of those. There's like Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Parks and Recreation, Chicago Agriculture.
It's too much.
Yeah, well, the last two are not real shows, I don't think. Okay.
Oh, anyway. Really?
Listen, I Think I Can See Your Voice. I don't need that right now, okay? Okay.
Okay.
You wanted to buy moon boots today. Don't even make it seem like I'm the weird one.
I never wanted to buy, to be 100% clear, I never wanted to buy moon boots because I think my feet are too big to fit in moon boots. However, did consider the possibility of rebuying Heelys despite the fact that I have bought them before and it did not go well, but I didn't learn from that experience clearly by entertaining the idea of buying a second pair. So there. Huh.
All right. Well, now that you've concluded your statement,
nailed it.
we can end this podcast. And Liana, let the people know for the penultimate time this season, where can they find you? What do you have going on? Let them know.
You can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Maybe I'll tweet someday. And I am podcasting about Survivor, the aforementioned Survivor. Mike Bloom and I are doing the B&B, which is going strong. We have some super fun episodes. Jess McKenna is going to be back to talk with us. We're recording a little bit later on Monday, but I swear it's going to be worth it. We've got a really great game planned that I still have to write, but I swear it's going to be great. So definitely check that out. And then, you know, it's just so little time between the end of the last season of Drag Race and the start of the new one. So I'm just going to keep on plugging it. Drag Race All-Stars will be back May 20th. And so our team will be covering it with Beth and Amon. And they have been doing some serious all-out promos. They have a Saks Fifth Avenue, like, promo, which is the queens in the window, like the actual queens. And they've been there for like 24 hours. It's absolutely insane. Anyway, so if they are promoting the crap out of the season, I hope that means it's going to be a good season. I mean, it is all winners, which is just like so exciting. It's the winners at war for Drag Race. So definitely you want to be along with us on that fun ride, which in a couple weeks, we'll be back talking about all of that.
Perfect, Liana. And you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. Now that Big Brother's concluded, I feel like I'm going to be there a lot more. So come through if you're free. Say hi. Would appreciate that, of course. And then I had 90 Day Fiancé go live earlier this week. I had the great Brian Scally on with me to talk all about the hot mess express that is 90 Day. In addition to that, I did a special podcast today over on Post Show Recaps with my friend Chappelle, where we interviewed the showrunners of Bel Air. And got to talk to them all about season one and some things that might be coming up on season two. Now, that podcast isn't live as of the recording of this podcast, but I have a feeling it'll be out there soon. So check that out as well if you can. And last but not least.
Wow. You're so professional. Stop down to say that? Look at you. You're like, you've made it big time. From starting with The Masked Singer as your first hosted podcast to now interviewing a showrunner for a show that you covered, that's big time. That's awesome. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Leon. I appreciate that. It's no moon boots, but you know, I try.
Okay. So now I can call it. So I think you can see your voice.
No, you can't. I don't care how much you butter me up. I will never let that slide. I don't care if it goes four more seasons of you saying it wrong. I will correct you every time. But yeah, if you can please leave a rating and review for this podcast, that would be much appreciated. It allows people to find the podcast. It gives us good feedback on what your thoughts may be. Shout out to Ruby's mom, 515, who left us the most amazing 5-star review this week. I just want to let you know we saw it. We both smiled and we appreciated it. So thank you. You can do so over on robinsonwebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MASKEDSINGER. Would appreciate your reviews. All right. We are now at the end of this podcast. We'll be back one more time next week to talk all about who won season 7, who won this draft, who had the worst guesses, Ken, and where we go from there. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this safety. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know.